Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
So what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Yo, man, we are back, man, for I guess a end of season recap, man. There's been some coaching changes. You can hear it in my voice, man. I'm a little under the weather, man, but we gonna definitely get through it, man. The same way we always do. So, Sam, man, you ready?
Yeah, man, I am. I'm ready. Do this.
All right, man. Let's do this thing, man. So, I mean, shit. I guess let's.
Where you want to start at? You want to start the SEC championship game? You want to start Marv moving on.
Let's start at Georgia, man, because again, you were right about Georgia from the sense that you thought Georgia would be a team in the Final Four. I was right about Oregon. In the sense that I told you that I don't care what Oregon does, Oregon ain't going to never really be what we want Oregon to be because they can figure out a way to lose it. And now it looks like Miami is taking over that same dude who I said would always find a way to lose a game he need to lose, and Miami's getting that dude. Even though that may be a little bit dicey, just kind of seeing what's playing out on Twitter or whatever. There was supposed to be a 4:30 meeting, and that didn't happen. So, I mean, it's a lot of, but it's college football, man. It's kind of what we
Venables,
live
Venables
for,
just got officially announced
as Oklahoma coach. Lincoln Riley's now at USC. I mean, it's college football, man. We love this thing, man. So, honestly, it's fun. But let's dive into the SEC championship. So, I don't think any of us imagined Georgia to get steamrolled by Alabama.
Right,
but. I know what happened, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, man, it's crazy. I did pick Georgia to beat Bama because I picked Georgia to win the whole thing this year.
Yeah.
It did bother me after the season kept going that he kept playing that little midget quarterback. That bothered me. So, yeah. And I remember I kept saying that this shit is kind of bothering me a little bit. Like, why he keep playing this little ass quarterback?
Another one's on the bench, yeah.
Another one on the bench, right? So, but what really, really was shocking to me in that game was that Alabama hadn't shown that they could block anybody the whole year. That quarterback had been running for his life against A&M, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Auburn. So you just kind of take that and say, well, I mean, they won't be able to make enough plays to actually beat Georgia. They won't be able to get a chance to get the ball to those fast receivers and stuff like that.
That's a logical conclusion.
Right, it's just a logical thing to think, right? They haven't blocked anybody all year, right?
Yeah.
So we get into the game, and this is the funny part. My friend actually went to the SEC championship game, him and his wife. So he called me on the phone. He hates Georgia. His wife is a Georgia fan. He hates Georgia. His wife and the wife family loves Georgia. And they got me on speakerphone, right, because I'm Mr. Sports Analyst, right? So they say, hey, Sam, you think it's any way Saban beats Kirby today, right? And I say, it's a one-game one-off, right? And I say, any one-game one-off, big game, I always take the best quarterback with the best coach, right? This is just what I do, right? So I was like, but if they can't block Georgia, they should lose, right? And I was like, the other part is, to me was, I said, if Saban can get his team to play even with them early, right? In the first quarter, the second quarter, get a chance to play even first quarter, second quarter, get to the second half, he's going to throw a bunch of knockout punches in the third and fourth quarter to try to knock Georgia out of the game and make Kirby coach. Well, that's exactly what he did, right?
Exactly.
He gets to the third and fourth quarter, and you see Bryce throw these bombs on Georgia, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's over. And Kirby's not decided not to kick that field goal. Kirby decided not to change his quarterback at any time. And, you know, the great coaches can always project forward. The great coaches can, right? Like, yeah. Nick Saban had Tua ready for that NFC championship game, right? To put him in over Hurts, right? I remember Belichick.
Makes tough decisions. Good coaches make tough decisions.
Yeah. I remember Belichick the year that the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. Bledsoe was a better quarterback than Tom Brady at that time. He was a better quarterback.
Right.
But Belichick projected forward and said, you know what? I can actually win a Super Bowl with this kid. So he came out and said, hey, when Bledsoe got healthy, he was like, nah, man. Tom Brady's my quarterback. We're going with it going forward. And Tom Brady wasn't even playing good at that time. He was throwing for like 125 yards a game. But the great coaches can project forward. And Kirby recruits all these five-star, all-world quarterbacks. And you got this mighty midget playing, this walk-on. Like, why are you doing that? I cannot understand that. Then you get into this big game. And all of a sudden, it was like Georgia decided, we're going to play zone. Right, and once you find out your front four could not get to Bryce, don't you have to then man up and then blitz him? Because you sitting in zone and him just picking you apart is killing you.
Killing.
They just—it's like they never made it. They never went full steam and said, "Let's just man up and just take chances." And it killed the man. I mean, hats off to Saban. Of course he's going to coach the game of his life. He always coaches the game of his life in big games like that. That's what he does. But you have to be able to throw knockout punches to Saban to beat him. Jimbo did it earlier this year. We watched Ole Miss do it a few years back. They kept throwing knockout blows to knock him out. We saw it with Johnny Manziel and Kevin Sumlin a couple years ago. I mean, you have to score points. And the fact that Kirby acts like he's going to play some type of game control possession for possession game with Nick Saban is like the funniest shit of all time. Like, dude, you can't recruit good enough to play even with him like that. Like, you just can't.
Not even a little bit. So
yeah.
First, let me start off saying I apologize, man. Listen, Tim. I've had a lot of Theraflu and NyQuil. I'm trying my best. Sam texted me like 15 minutes ago. Was like, yo, you want to jump on the pod? I was like, man, let's do it. So I've been sick for the last few days or whatever it is. But I called Sam, and I said, it's amazing, man.
Hold on. Back that up. Because I think we was talking Wednesday?
Yeah.
Wednesday. And I was telling you, I was like, man, I'll listen to Trent Dilfer. And he said that good offensive coordinator. This is what he said. He said good offensive coordinator will scheme open one guy per quarter. This guy would be wide open. You would throw the football to this guy. He'd be wide open, right? So I told Brandon this. Now you go ahead and
So I started thinking, right? Like, dang, how many guys do we actually scheme open? Forget per quarter, per game. We get like one a game where we'll scheme a guy open. So then I watched the first half. I watched the first quarter of Georgia, Alabama, and I said, both of these teams against really good defensive coordinators and against really good defenses are scheming guys wide open.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't feel too good about what we have in Tallahassee because these guys don't scheme guys open the way other guys scheme guys open. And it's not me hating or nothing like that, but I'm just saying, like, when I look at it and I say, there were guys running wide open all game against a Georgia defense who everybody said was great.
Yeah.
Vice versa, early on in the game against the Alabama defense, who we know is coached by one of the great, if not the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
Guys are getting schemed open. It really made me take a look at the staff that we had in Tallahassee and say, I don't feel very good about what we calling and about what we dialing up when I say these dudes have schemed guys open. They put these safeties at conflict one play. They put the linebackers in conflict another play. They put the defensive line in conflict. You look at just the different formations. All right, we're going trips this formation. Then we're going the third and one play that they ran early in the game to Cook. You know what I mean? Like that. I'm like, man, you could pretty much run that play all game. That's going to get you a first down because you don't see it coming. And that guy's like, again, you asking the defensive end to get off that line real quick in order to stop that. That's an advantage. These are schemed plays. They ain't got nothing to do with talent. Now, again, when you talk about Williams for Alabama, that's talent, right? Like, that guy's going to just beat a dude in the foot race. He's fast as shit. You ain't going to do nothing about it. Like, you can, like, again, those are talent plays, right? Like, but what I'm saying, like, when I talked to Sam, I was saying, it's one thing for you to scheme the guy open. That still gets you 60 yards. I'll take the 60 yards, even if our guy can't take it and beat the man down the field. Like, he may not win the foot race. He'll get caught at the 20. Right. That's fine. We still schemed him open for 60 yards. The difference was, okay, Williams going to take it and take it to the house because he got that different level of speed. Cool.
Right.
The fact is that dude was wide open. Meanwhile, our guys are literally the conversation that we having, why can't our guys beat men one-on-one? Forget these one-on-ones. Yes, Williams is difference making to beat guys one-on-one. But what is your offensive coordinator doing to scheme your second, third, fourth option open on a given play? They had schemed at the end of the first quarter, they had schemed five different guys open for like first downs and almost touchdowns.
Yeah.
We just don't see it in Tallahassee. So when we talk about a talent deficiency, yeah, you're right. There's a talent deficiency. But at the same time, not only is there a talent deficiency, there's a bit of a coaching deficiency as well. When we talk about, I watched that game and I looked at guys being put in position of, I'm looking at these route trees and I'm saying, boy, that's nice there. I wish we had some of that. Like, again, and I'm not trying to bash on Norvell or Dillingham and anything like that, but the fact is the fact. When you look at these game plans and we get shut down in the second half because we don't have nothing to do, we ain't got nothing to fall back on, these plays worked all game.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good point by Broderick. Like, you know, Adam and OC long enough, great OCs have a wealth of knowledge, counterpoint, scheme, and tendencies. And that's a very great point because you have a lot of tendency breakers because people have knowledge on you. So, you know, you kind of know what they're looking for. I think that overall, and I said this to you too, but I'm like, man, even if you go back and look at Browse, remember I was like talking about Kendall Browse, right?
Game guys open.
And I would say, you know, we would watch the game and we would get mad. We would get mad because we'd be like, damn, James Blackman, these dudes wide ass open, dude. You can't hit these dudes on the damn go route. Like, there's a lot of games to Tamarian Terry be wide open. You'd be like, damn, he's keen that dude wide open. We just had a quarterback. And I just think that's
fight for every yard. And I watched that game and I realized teams ain't fighting for every yard. Again, this was Bama, Georgia. This wasn't Bama, Wake Forest. This wasn't Bama, you know what I mean, Louisville or whatever. These are two top teams, you know what I'm saying? Both of these teams are competing for a championship. These are great defenses with NFL players on it. And they figured out ways to make those, like we looked at Georgia's defense, they were confused a lot of the game. Yeah. And again, when I look at, we just don't see it. We asking Parchment to beat a dude one-on-one and win a 50-50 ball. We not talking the same game here. And so, again, when we look at the players, I looked at the players, but when I called Sam, I was like, this ain't got nothing to do with players. This got a whole lot to do with anybody's getting open. I don't care if you can play or not. I'm getting open. On the way that the play is designed, it's designed to make somebody open. It's designed to have somebody open because, again, we expect these linebackers, these safeties, somebody to be in conflict. So now you got to make a decision. So either the deep route is open or the underneath is open. And those, you looked at them, those guys were picking. Oh, shoot, I think I got to go there. So then you go there, oh, cool. Now the backup tight end is wide open. It like chess, not checkers, in my opinion. And so when I looked at it, I said, man, I think we got to get better at chess and not checkers.
Yeah, I think that. You know, and I had put on a timeline, I was like, you know, maybe they need another set of eyes on the staff for the offense to help with this type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody's because available.
Well, yeah. We're going to get into that. Matter of fact, let's roll down to the coaching thing now. Let's just go ahead and go there.
Let's go there.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, so it looks like Chris Marv has been relieved of duties. From what it looks like, again, none of it's confirmed, but it looks like he's going to be taking the job over at Virginia Tech. I'm quite frankly happy. I was wrong. I apologize to the listeners of Listen Up Podcast. We was hyped. Like, we thought this man was going to be the next defensive coordinator. Again, the way this man talks football, he knows his X's and O's. He really does. I've seen, again, very few coaches, I say this all the time, where I learned something that I didn't know. I listened to this dude give these speeches and conferences, and the dude was really enlightening. But damn. I mean, those shorts and shoes just wasn't getting it done on the recruiting trail.
You know, again, it's like he did a good job. He did a good job developing DeLoach, I thought.
He did a really good job developing DeLoach. But how much is that, again, and this is where I'm saying, did he do a good job developing DeLoach, or did Papa DeLoach do a good job developing DeLoach? Because here's the thing. We know Papa DeLoach has a training academy where a lot of good players come and get better. So DeLoach was probably going to get better regardless of who his coach is.
Yeah.
How much strides? Did we see enough strides in Gaynor? Did we see enough strides in Lundy? Did we see, you know what I mean? Like, in the linebacker group, where do we see the strides? So when we say Marv did a good enough job to developing these guys, I'm not necessarily going to say I'm going to give him credit. Because, again, what we know is the day before yesterday, Bassaint was coming to Florida State. We know that. That's what everybody wrote. We saw all the crystal balls and everything. We woke up on Saturday, and he was going back to Miami.
Yeah.
Y'all can call it ain't a miss. He from Miami. He Haitian. His mama speak Creole. I don't give a shit. All I'm telling you is that everything that this man said, that he, again, everything that we all knew as a staff, as an organization, as people who cover the team, was that he was coming to Florida State.
Yeah.
And then in 24-hour time frame, he was no longer coming to Florida State. You cannot tell me that's not a miss. That's a miss.
Right.
He failed to close the deal. Closing the deal is part of recruiting. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, getting the guy to decide he may want to come, that's a small part of the job. Getting the sign on the dotted line is where you finish the job. And until that job is finished, you have not completed the recruiting process. And so when they tell me Marv gone, cool. Because you're not closing on the deal. If you got a guy who everybody's saying want to come to Florida State, but yet you let him go to a booster party to sign in Miami, that should have been a Florida State booster party. You don't get a chance to go down to Miami for a booster party. No, we got a parade right here set up in Tallahassee. You ain't even got to go back to Coral Gables. Because we got a party set up right here for Florida State. But again, it's these constant excuses that people are making that are saying, nah, this ain't a miss, this ain't that. No, man, this is a miss.
Yeah.
If you understand, like, again, and this also falls on Mike Norvell. I give Mike credit when he deserves credit. I give Mike blame when he deserves blame. So, again, this also falls on Mike. Because if this was an important person, you got to show up too. I can't leave this up to my Old Navy Baby Gap short-wearing linebacker coach. I can't leave it up to him. This dude ain't got nothing. He ain't showing nothing that he can close his deal. So you know what I'm going to do? Let me step in. I'm going to have to come in and step in for this dude. So I'm going to go and close his deal. He didn't. Mike didn't. Marv didn't. Peace, Marv. You got to go. We'll find somebody else who can close this deal. Peace. Deuces. Go to Virginia Tech with that foolishness.
I'm sorry,
man. I'm on therapy floor. I apologize.
Good. I'm laughing in between your rant. I went back to Twitter to read something. So they said about why Urban ain't playing the draft picks, and James Cole talking about he redshirted them.
Urban so lost. I was happy about this loss by the Jaguars. That's a whole other story. I've been rooting for the Rams all game long.
All right, so let me get back to this Marv thing. I think it's hard
for Randy would have gotten him, for the record. I'm sorry, Sam, but
yeah. You think so?
Randy would have closed that deal.
Okay.
Randy would have closed that deal. Like,
yeah.
I believe Randy has shown the ability to close that deal in the past, so I believe Randy would have closed that deal, which is why Randy now has this job. I mean, I'm just not, again, man. We were really high on Marv. I believed a lot in Marv and his ability to coach. And I still believe he understands X's and O's. But part of your job is also recruiting. Like Sam said, he believes 70% is recruiting. So if you tell me that the dude who is supposed to come to your school, who everybody says wants to come to your school, and you can't close that deal, no, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah, a lot I'm of pain, out. a lot of pain.
Which is why I believe today was it was announced. I appreciate you, Mar, but you can take a hike.
I think they need to look at some more coaches. I think though, I mean, you got a wide receiver coach. You got a wide receiver coach that brought in 10 wide receivers, and they keep saying every week they can't win one-on-ones. So,
if that's the case, then look at the offensive coordinator too. Then
I mean, we need to take a look at a lot of these coaches. I mean, I don't think Mar should be the only one showing the door.
We don't disagree though.
I'm just saying.
So for real, right? if we look at objectively, Marv, appreciate you.
Yeah.
Offensive coordinator hasn't really shown the ability to make adjustments after halftime. Teams make adjustments. He don't seem to have a counterpunch to that punch. Okay, cool. So then we say, all right, cool. Who else is left? Wide receivers can't win one-on-ones, and apparently that's Mike Norvell's offense. You got to win one-on-one battles. So if you ain't got a receiver coach who can teach guys to win one-on-one battles and can't recruit receivers who can win one-on-one battles, then all right, Duke, you may have to go.
Yeah,
like I appreciate everything Dugas did for Florida State as a player, but as a coach, he hadn't really, and not to mention, we heard last year he was kind of like 50-50 in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, what a good thing about this whole situation, because I put something about Mario on the timeline. People got upset with me about the Mario thing, but you know, if Miami hire Mario Cristobal. And he recruits the way I think he's going to recruit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he will be organized. He'll be structured. And I think he can bridge the gap between the alumni, the players, the administration, the power people. He seems like the type of guy that can kind of walk in all those rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he does that, and Miami's good, right? They get the 10 wins, go to conference championship games, maybe one day win the conference. I think that lights a fire underneath FSU's ass, because your rivals being good creates an urgency within your program, right? Like, I think Bobby gets an extra year if Urban Meyer wasn't kicking his ass the way he was. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Urban Meyer wasn't doing what he was doing to Florida State, I think they would have gave Bobby the extra year. But because what Urban was doing to Florida State, it was like, yo, I'm sorry, Bobby, you gotta go. Like, this shit is out of control. Like, these boys is... I mean, we got Tebow with war paint on his face. So
it was a bad image.
Yeah, it's a bad image. So I'm all for it. Like, I'm all for it, because FSU need to make a bigger push. And I think somebody like if you get the right type of coach to the state of Florida, I mean, because, you know, if Mike is the recruiter that we think he is, or the recruiter that people say that he is, then
out recruiting
Dan Mullen, out recruiting Dan Mullen, and out recruiting Manny. That's two different things. You know what I'm saying? And he had a hard time recruiting Manny. You know what I'm saying? So this is gonna be interesting, I think. And I'm kind of happy, because I think if all the schools in the state of Florida all push their chips to the middle of the table, it's just going to rise up the product in the state, in my opinion. And maybe we'll start going 6-6 all the damn time. Everybody in the state going 6-6 and barely making bowl games. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. So we just lost Brandon, but it's neither here nor there. But so I'm actually excited about Miami making it to hire Mario Cristobal. What you feel about the Mario Cristobal thing?
I think Mario Cristobal is Cuban Willie Taggart. Exactly what the people on the message board said. I think he's decent, but I don't think he ain't gonna win no championship.
Like, no, I don't think he won a championship.
You know what I mean? Like, do we believe again? When we talked about Mario Cristobal to start the season and the Oregon Ducks, I told you two things. They're gonna lose to Stanford because they lose every year. And they were gonna lose to somebody who we didn't know. Some up and coming team who was gonna somehow have their way with them.
Yeah.
Those two things happen. Because, again, if I don't know nothing else about Mario Cristobal, that's what he does. You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter the talent. It don't matter whatever he gets or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It is just what he does. So, in my opinion, it's going to be a lot of the same. Do I think they win an ACC championship? I don't know. But do I think they got a little bit better? Yeah, I do. I think he's better. Again, I thought Manny Diaz was ass. Right. So they've upgraded from ass. So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what that upgrade is, but they've upgraded from ass. So, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Do I think they are appreciably a whole lot better? Not really. You know what I mean? They didn't get one. They didn't get Lincoln Riley. They didn't get nobody. They got a coach who just got his ass whooped 38 to whatever it is by Utah. You know what I mean? So I'm not necessarily feeling like Cristobal is the guy who's going to, you know, take them over the top. But I do think it's an upgrade because I don't think Manny Diaz was really much of nothing. So, okay. I mean, yeah, they've gotten better. I just don't think it's to the level that they think they've gotten to. And I definitely don't think it's to the level that they believe they've gotten to. That's one of the things we'll have to see when as the chips fall. You know what I mean? Like, as the season goes on, I think his biggest thing is going to be who's that staff he put together. Because when we talked about it earlier, we were thinking Lane Kiffin.
Right. Right.
And so we were thinking Lane Kiffin. You bring in Lane Kiffin. You add Lane Kiffin with Ed Orgeron as a defensive coordinator. Now we talk about, okay, two real good recruiters, one with ties to Louisiana, another one who's a great recruiter, also a great play call. I'd have legit been scared if you told me you bring, you know me, Lane Kiffin and Ed Orgeron. You bring Mario Cristobal, I'm like, I'm not really moved by it.
Yeah, it's a rumor. I don't think it's true, but it is a rumor that that Joe Brady is from Miami, that down south area, and that might be an OC hire that he would look at, and they have a prior relationship. So, you know, that could happen. I don't know. Maybe that won't happen. I don't know.
If I'm Mike, I call Joe Brady first. I mean, I know he won't because, you know, I don't, you know, I know he won't. But if I'm calling Joe Brady first. I'm definitely calling Joe. Like, one thing about it, Joe schemes up quarterbacks. You know what I mean? He schemes guys open. And you tell me you can give him mobile quarterback like Jordan Travis, I think he would leap at the opportunity, in my opinion. But who knows?
But, you know, but the thing I will say, though, you're talking about Cristobal, I'm going to say this. It's some coaches that are not good in-game coaches, right? He's not. He's not a good in-game coach. He is not a good in-game coach. And I agree with that. But he does do the stuff Sunday through Friday really good.
Yeah.
He does that stuff really good, right? His teams are motivated. They do play hard. He does recruit well. He is organized. He's way more organized than what Willie was, right? So it's not crazy to think that he'll be good at Miami. I think he'll be good at Miami.
I think he'll be good.
But yeah. I think the problem with Miami, and I haven't got here with Florida State yet. I haven't got here with Florida State yet. I am getting there, but I haven't got there yet, is realistically, what are your expectations, Miami? You know what I'm saying?
Like, they want to win a championship.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. So, because if you look at Manny Diaz, technically Manny hasn't been that bad. Technically, if you just go look at it, like 7 wins, 8 wins, he might knock on 9 or 10 wins next year.
I think Cristobal, right, and that's what I mean. I think Cristobal does not get them to a championship, but if Manny's getting them to 7 to 8 wins, he gets them to 8 to 9 wins. He has 2 wins.
But I think Cristobal has them competing late in the season. I think the season isn't over in September. I think they go late into the season before they lose a game. So
I think they're playing the war chant in Miami in August.
But you know something,
because they understand the season is more than Florida State.
But I think he can align. He can get all that, the alignment of the boosters, the former players, and all that stuff. He can get all that stuff done for them, like kind of how Jimbo did when he first started. Like Jimbo got all of that organized and aligned together where it all worked. You know, it worked for a while until it didn't work. But I mean, he got all that together. I think Cristobal can do that for them. I think it's a good. If they get him, I think it's good. Now, Lane would have scared me more, but I knew Lane would not have been a long-term solution. He'd have been a short-term solution.
Lane got Ole Miss at the New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He would have made a quick flip. He would have flipped it quick. Lane would have been like, they'd have been like 11 wins next year with Lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, Lane would have, he would have flipped that quick.
Lane and Orgeron would have scared me. Cristobal does not.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down to, right? Yeah. Like, crystal ball doesn't really change. Like you said, I think Broderick just said it in one of the messages. He raises their floor. He does. He raises their floor. I think that they're minimum 8 wins now. I don't think you're going to see them miss a bowl or whatever it is. But they weren't really missing bowls with Manning. But instead of getting a 7-6.
They were flirting with getting bowls.
Right. Instead of flirting with it, you'll beat those fringe teams. You'll whatever it is. Florida State will not be as much of a focus or whatever it is, but they'll end up being we gotta beat Florida State because it's a rival or whatever it is. But again, I'm not seeing the Chris Ball hire as like the greatest thing ever. The same way.
So what you think about Dabo now, man? Dabo lost. He finna lose both his coordinators.
I think Dabo comes back to reality because again, what made Dabo again? I told you for years. Dabo, in my opinion, is a clown-ass coach. I think he is really good at being what Bobby Bowden genuinely was. You know what I mean? Folksy. You know what I mean? He kisses babies, a politician. He represents the program well. He motivates those guys or whatever it is. But when it comes to the X's and O's, I don't think he's very good at that. So, therefore, one thing that Dabo did was surrounded himself by literally some of the best. So, now you tell me he's going to lose both his coordinators and his AD?
Yeah,
I think you see the Dabo Sweeney who was giving up 80 points to West Virginia in a bowl game. That's what I think. I think you know what I mean. Like that's just my opinion. I think you look at Dabo and I say you're not getting much from Dabo. Yeah. Like I think Clemson comes back to the pack like they always have, which means that in my opinion the ACC is back up for grabs. Losing Venables is huge. You cannot replace a Venables. Like, you can't. We kept saying Venables ain't going nowhere. He ain't leaving. He ain't going nowhere. There ain't no job that he going to want or whatever it is. We were wrong. So now you tell me you losing Venables, I would have been like, it's a wrap for him just losing Venables. But now you tell me he losing Venables, he losing his offensive coordinator, and you tell me he losing his AD? Yeah, so it's just – so you tell me it's just Dabo? I hear church and folks – And going against Black Lives Matter in 2021? Shit. I'm not really high on Dabo right now being able to come back and think that Dabo gonna be able to, you know, bounce back from this situation. Yeah. Now, and he don't have a transcendent quarterback to like bail him out. You know what I'm saying? If he had a transcendent quarterback, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, he got that quarterback and whatever it is, but you know, he can do it.
Yeah, and I know Tony. They talking about Tony was up for either Virginia Tech, the Virginia job, or the Duke job. I don't know if it's official yet with Duke or Virginia. So we'll see what happens.
But if he take either one again, but I think I think if Tony looking at it, he's saying, okay,
yeah, Tony's smart.
AD gone, right? My AD gone. My all world defensive coordinator gone. What the hell am I sticking around here for? I got a quarterback who can't throw.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't going up from here. If his agent is smart, he's saying, you are as hot as you going to be right now. It ain't going nowhere but down. So at this present moment, you either better get out or not. You know what I'm saying? So in my opinion, I think the shine from Dabo falls off in a little bit. So, you know, because again, I don't think Dabo's a very good coach at all. I think Dabo is really good at being what he is, folks.
So they say Tony Elliott, all he did was interview for the Duke job. So he interviewed for the Duke job. So we'll see. But, man, that's interesting stuff, man. It's a lot of moving pieces, man. So Florida State got a chance to make some hay with some of this stuff, man. They got opportunity.
They're in the position right now where they can. If I'm Mike, get rid of Marv was a good move, right? Like, yo, my man, you can't close on the layups. Peace. See you. Which is also funny, and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. When you said yesterday – and again, I don't get involved in the back and forth day-to-day operation. If y'all understand the dynamic of how this works, Sam is the driving force of what happens around like the Listen Up podcast or whatever it is. He says stuff and gets y'all riled up and gets people mad and says and talking about things or whatever it is. I sit home quiet because I told Sam personally, I have an attitude problem. So I'll go off and want to fight one of y'all. I drive to 3. I'm at Barnes. I drive 3.5 hours to come fight you. I do that. That's like things that I enjoy, right? Because that's how, like, again, I'm raised. My dad is a Q dog. We a little different. We built a little different. So in my opinion, I don't get involved in the day to day because I can't. I like it raises my blood pressure. I get mad and I want to fight people. So I don't do that. So when Sam said yesterday, you know, hey, that's a layup that was missed. And then everybody said, that's not a layup. That dude Haitian. He from Miami. His mama speak Creole. All this other bullshit that y'all was saying out of the mouth. I was like, my man, that's a miss. For any other coach in America, that's a miss. If every single person said that this man was coming to Florida State, and then 10 minutes before he makes an announcement, they flip that and say, nope, he's going to Miami. Yeah. That's a miss.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a, that's a miss.
It's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. And then y'all argued Sam down, telling Sam how he was foolish and crazy, how that's going to be a layup. That ain't no layup. That dude from Miami. As if we ain't never got kids out of Miami before. We ain't never got a Dalvin Cook or Devontae Freeman from Miami, because them dudes ain't never, ever pulled. We don't ever pull my guys out of Miami, ever. Mm. That don't happen. So now you tell me we ain't never got guys out of Miami, and so that shouldn't have been a layup because he was from Miami, which is some crazy shit. So now y'all tell me. So I'm listening to y'all talk about, you know, this foolishness or whatever it is. And then the next day, Chris Marv gets fired.
So it was a pretty big deal, wasn't it?
It seems like, to me, that Mike Norvell felt a lot like how Sam felt. Am I, like, you know what I mean? If I'm off, I'm off. But it feels like the coaching staff and Mike Norvell felt a lot like how Sam felt. You can't go out there missing finger rolls.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, when the dude get fired the next day, it's kind of hard to argue against that. So all I'm saying is, you know what I mean? Like, for those of y'all out there who, you know, seem to kind of like, you know, decide to argue on behalf of Mike Norvell, in this situation, Mike Norvell was more aligned with what Sam was thinking than what I was. Again, I call Sam and I agree with him, but I'm not going to go on the internet and do it because I just don't, I don't have the tolerance or the patience. But it seems like Mike Norvell was in line with what Sam was thinking. This is I mean, that's just my two cents that I'm going to throw out there. But listen, man, recruiting is very, very important. You got to get players. Yeah. But you also have to get coaches. Like, you need coaches who can scheme guys open. But you also need guys who, when he gets the ball in his hand because he's wide open, can make a guy miss and take it to the house. You have, what, maybe two of those guys? I think Mortimer and punt return and kickoff return can be one of those guys. I think, I know Travis Hunter and, you know, wide receiver from what, from what he's talking about, he's going to play wide receiver more than DB. I disagree, but it don't matter, right? Whatever they decide to use him, they're going to use him. It's also one of those guys. You got to add more of those guys. Yeah. You got to add more of those guys, man, because that allows you to compete against top-level teams.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The difference between Florida State and Florida in this was not only coaching, but it also was a little bit of, yo, this guy's really good, and the guy who's guarding him is just a little bit lower.
Yeah. And, man, while y'all here, man, make sure y'all please hit the like button while you while y'all chilling out with your boys today. Make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe. What's crazy, I think, though, it's really not. Like, a lot of times people say I be trolling, but I really don't be trolling. Like, it's certain things that really be like, I just throw a lot of thoughts out there. These are my thoughts. I just throw them out there. I don't be really expecting people to get upset about a lot of these things. But, you know, but when it comes to recruiting, there's not really no type of second place in recruiting. You either get the guy or you don't. It doesn't matter if he likes you. Like, I felt like a lot of those kids liked it, Willie. They didn't fucking sign it. Everett Neal didn't sign his dotted line, and Trey Simmons didn't sign the dotted line and come here. They went to Alabama. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, so it's like.
Because you were losing.
Right, because you was losing. And, I mean, it's a lot of factors that go into recruiting. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of factors that go into that. So I just think that at the end of the day, you either getting players or you're not. And you got to get players. And that's just the name of the game. You know, I mean, Kirby ain't a great coach, but he got enough good players that he going to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And Dan Mullen's looking for a job. And Dan Mullen's a great coach. He can coach with the best on X and O's, scheming up and everything. But guess what?
Recruit.
But guess what? His ass is on ESPN breaking down the SEC championship game. That's what he's doing.
excellently.
While the other guy, who we don't think is a great coach, you know what I'm saying?
This yeah, guy, no, that, it's funny. Guy. Yeah, yeah,
like,
no.
It's weird. No, right?
He's bringing down the coach who is not a good coach while right. he's out searching for a job. Hell, right. shit. Listen, if Dan Mullen wants to, hey Dan, you want to come out here to Tallahassee and call X's and O's? My man, you're welcome to bring your goofy self and them khakis and all that stuff. You can call plays for me any day. Because again, where I don't think you're a great recruiter, I know for a fact you don't really care about recruiting and none of this other stuff.
Yeah.
What I do know is you're gonna make my quarterback look good and you're gonna scheme guys open because you made two quarterbacks who are not, matter of fact, you made three quarterbacks who are not very good look yeah. good at doing this. And maybe four. I ain't going to really get a Dak Prescott, but, yeah, you know, all I'm saying is you've made some quarterbacks look good. So, all I'm saying, you know what I mean? So, if, you know, Dan, you want to come to Tallahassee, man, welcome. I welcome yeah. you and your terrible khakis and them, you know what I mean, them 2XL khakis or whatever. You can come right on to Tallahassee, man, and we'll welcome with open arms. Because, again, I don't care. I just want guys who can scheme guys open. That's what I want. I want guys who can scheme guys open, and I want guys who can get good players in here. Mike appears, and I'm going to say appears to know the importance and value of recruiting. Can he close the deal on some of these guys? We'll see. I want to see what happens with Marvin Jones Jr. I want to see what happens even with Mortimer, because again, like I say, it's a little whatever it is. I want to see what happens with some of these other guys. Let's see how this, you know, McCall recruitment goes. And again, we think they're 100% locks. But I also, we all, again, up until 10 minutes before, we thought Bissett was a lock yesterday. So at this point, everything that we thought about, you know, that we knew was locks is out the window. So over these next 2 weeks until the 15th, what we got, like, what is it, over the next 10 days, we'll get yeah. a better understanding of what exactly we got going on. So I'm not going to give anybody any pass. It looks like Mike understands the value of recruiting. They take it seriously. They go out. They recruit during the season. They recruit in the offseason. They recruit during that bye week. They did all sorts of stuff. I believe they know, they understand and value recruiting. They've also worked on the behind-the-field stuff as well, behind-the-scenes stuff. So they also, you know, appear that they understand the value of getting these guys in here.
Yeah.
Well, now we're at the make-it-or-break-it time. You know what I'm saying? Get the stuff. 10 days left. Get the yeah. guys who you've been putting all this sweat equity into. Make sure these guys sign on dotted line. And as long as they get the guys who we believe and hope that they get, me and Mike ain't got no problems.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think the coaches, you know, like people keep saying stuff like, well, you don't have to have experience. You don't have to come from a P5 school. You don't have – and that some of that can be true, right? I can find some outliers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I can find a couple outliers that tell me this. But for the most part, guys with experience at this level do better at this level. You know what I'm saying? So he's learning. He's gaining experience at this level. It's going to be a long offseason. We got some, I think, you know, Julian Armello should be a layup, right? You should get Julian Armello, right? I mean,
he's getting that. I'm just saying,
you should get him, right? That's not crazy, right? So if you don't get Julian Armello, I'm gonna be like, well, that's another bad sign of other bad signs I've seen, right? You know what I'm saying?
Where's Jeff? Okay, that's a toughie. That's a toughie.
Yeah. You know, so I think at the end of the day, you know, I think that is you have to look at I look at coaches in a 3-year to 4-year span, and then I look at their history and what they've done, right? So, even with Mike, when people be telling me, well, he's doing a great job recruiting, I'll be like, okay, well, last year, you know, we finished like the number 25 ranked class, right? Lost the top quarterback of the class, right? And that guy with the Ole Miss, right?
Lowest I look at things ever had in school history.
Right. Mm-hmm. I look at things like that and I'll be like, okay, so we gonna roll up with the number 23 class, follow up with the number 25 class. Okay, so I'm just kind of looking at these things. I'm just kind of jotting notes. Then you tell me this year, okay, we got a chance to finish with a top 6 class. Okay, you have some COVID things.
Give me the top 6 class.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, okay, top 6 class, that's FSU type stuff. Right. Finishing with a top 6 class, right?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Right now we can look at the future and say, the future is trending in the right direction. Because if you tell me you get in the top six class, that means you getting a lot of difference makers. You get a lot of sure starters. You the 23 class, you getting a lot of developmental guys. Guys who won't be ready for 3 years from now when the coach ain't even going to be here no more. You get me a top six class, oh, you talking about 1 to 2 years. You getting at least five, at least 3 to 5 guys who starting day one. And then the guys who are coming in after him are starting like year two. Oh, okay, well then I can wait that out because I see what you got going on. But you tell me you're getting another top 15 class, and I'm like, you got a couple starters. But do you have enough to change next season? Because, and this is going to, I guess, transition to our last topic, you know, like, the expectation for next season, in my opinion, should be 8 wins. Like, I think if we looked at this season, we said he probably should have had 7 wins. Like, Jacksonville State was a fluke. He still lost it, but it was a fluke. And then if Jordan Travis plays against North Carolina State, I can feel like you win that game too. So let's say we add 2 more wins to this season. We say they get 7 wins.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I think – why would next year's be 7 wins again? If I'm saying you're supposed to be upgrading, you also got a top 6 class, I would say next year should be – 8 wins, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just my opinion. So I'm looking at next season. I'm saying we got to be getting – our floor should be 8. And we should be right in contention for the ACC championship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be the normal, you know, progression of things. I mean – that would be the progression, right? To win, well, I thought you should have won 6 the first year, 7 the second year, and 8 this year. So we like 1 game or 2 games off my expectations. Well, the first year we 3 games off. This year we was 1 game off my expectation. And next year, I think 8 wins next year ain't crazy. But, I mean, you got to hit some transfers, man. Like I think I said to somebody, I put on the timeline, I wouldn't be bringing guys in this class that can't help me. So I wouldn't be taking 25 freshmen if 5 freshmen can't help me. I need 20 players that can help me this year and next year. If you can't help me this year and next year, I might take some transfers. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to coach with some urgency, like your job is on the line. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some urgency around here. So, you know, hopefully, you know, things go in the right direction. You know, that's all I can say. But, you know, so, Brandon, you're on mute.
And, no, I mean, listen, it's simple to me, man. You got to
– I mean –
You got to get better.
Yeah, I tell you a good, you know, situation. Like, you look at, like, what Michigan did. So, Harbaugh gets there, and it's different. Okay, of course Harbaugh didn't come in during the COVID season, all right? We just talking about coaches' progression at a school, okay? How about I got there? They won like 10 games his first year, 10 games his second year, 9 games his third year, 8 games, 10 games, 9 games, 10 games, 2 games last year. This year, they're in the college football playoffs, right? Along the way, people wanted Harbaugh fired, right? Because they were like, well, you're not beating Ohio State, right? But my whole point was, well, Harbaugh was, well, he's better than what you was before he got there.
And he's recruiting at a high level.
And he's recruiting at a good level for y'all. Yep. So my whole thing is, even with Jimbo first year, 10 games, second year, 9 games, right? But look at the recruiting class that he was bringing in under that 9-win season. You was like, okay, they're going to be pretty damn good coming up real soon. So all this stuff kind of goes into the bag, and you mix all this stuff together and say, are we making the type of progress that we think we need to make? And I think at the end of the day, a lot of stuff gonna get settled on the field. It's gonna get settled on the field, so I don't really worry about it too much. Like I'm not concerned about who Miami hires, who Florida hires, or what's the long term viability of FSU. I think FSU long term is gonna be fine. I think FSU will win a national championship in the next 20 years. I believe that. In the next 10 years, I don't know. Next 6 years, I don't know. But next 20 years, I think FSU will win a national championship. With the way the playoff going, we're gonna have 25 playoff teams. So they'll make a playoff eventually, right? I mean,
yeah, they have a chance. Yeah, they never gonna have a chance.
I mean, so people get up, like people get into this uproar about, like, you know, do we have the right guy? I don't believe no coach is gonna stay anywhere longer than 6 years. I think once you get past 6 years with a coach, you should start counting the time between that coach staying and leaving. I mean, right. 6 years in this modern day college football is crazy, right? Like, so people got to stop being so damn emotionally tied to these coaches. I mean, it's just crazy. Like, if Lincoln Riley can leave Oklahoma, if Brian Kelly can leave Notre Dame, anything is possible.
It's about winning, football. Man. We want, like, coaches, and these guys want to win championships, man. And they understand that, listen, I respect Notre Dame as an institution or whatever it is, but I ain't going to win no championship here. Yeah. Every time I get to the playoffs, I get my ass busted by a team who's just got better players than I do. No matter how good a coach I am, these dudes are going to bust my ass every single time. It's not going to be close. Because, again, Alabama ain't got no forensic scientists or whatever. You know what I mean? They ain't got no Rhodes Scholars on their team.
Right.
They got a whole bunch of dudes who playing in the NFL. That's their career goal. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they got.
Right.
And that's the dudes we going up against. And while we appreciate all those poli-sci majors, they ain't getting it done. So Brian Kelly said, I'm going to have to get away from some of these poli-sci majors and find me some of those guys who's majoring in PE. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm just going to school so I can play football or whatever it is, and I'm gonna win a championship. And ain't nothing wrong with that, right? Like, them dudes is winning championships because they know they're going to the NFL, so they only going to school for the purposes of it. The same reason why Lincoln Riley can look at Oklahoma and say, I'm just not getting enough here at Norman.
Yeah.
So let me go out to California where it's the second highest talent in the country. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's Florida, then it's California. You know what I mean? So now I'm looking at California, and I'm saying, I get to pick and choose. I'm at the primary institution on essentially the West Coast. I get my pick of anything on the West Coast. And I may be able to grab a Florida kid every now and then. I'll take that over what's happening over here in Oklahoma. I got a much better chance of winning a championship.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
It's simple.
And that's what it's all about. I mean, if you realistically feel like your team has an opportunity to win a national championship, you should do everything you can to get to that place. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are donating money to these programs, man. They're not donating money to these programs to have a shitty product, right? So, you know, like I always tell people keep talking about continuity and keep coaches together and keep staff together. I mean, okay, man. Okay, whatever. I mean, okay.
I want to win.
This ain't no Make-A-Wish program. This ain't no Make-A-Wish program. This ain't high school football. If you want a staff to stay together, go look at your local high school team. They all going to be there for the next 25 years.
That's the thing about it, man. I just want to win, man. I want Florida State to get back to the place where they're used to winning.
Yeah.
And they haven't been that in a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't be this difficult. You know what I mean? At Florida State, we should not have coaches who cannot scheme guys open. We shouldn't have coaches who miss on surefire recruits. It shouldn't be like, you know what I mean, oh, this guy's from Miami, so therefore he can't come to Florida State. That's a problem. Because, again, the previous coaches never had an issue taking guys out of Miami. There's never been a fence around Miami.
Right.
We've always knocked down that fence and got guys from Miami. It don't matter if their daddy played there, their mama played there. It don't matter. We've been able to get whoever we wanted out of Miami whenever we needed to. So the idea that this guy's from Miami and therefore we should have known we weren't gonna get him, that's bullshit in my opinion.
Yeah.
Go recruit, man. Yeah. Go close the deal on some of these guys, man.
Let's get the AD.
Stop making excuses.
Let's get the AD hired. Let's get the AD hired. I heard somebody say the
AD out of Louisville maybe be a top candidate. I don't care. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't care, man. Just go find somebody who wants to win.
Well, let's get into some AD hiring stuff next episode, man. We're gonna try to keep doing these. We're gonna try to keep doing these, but like I said, it ain't gonna be weekly on that 2 week episode thing. We're gonna just try to slide them in when we can. So, but hey, man, we appreciate y'all coming through, man. Make sure y'all like the podcast, man. Make sure y'all subscribe to the Apple. Leave a go nose on the Apple reviews. Leave a go nose, 5-star that thing, man. On the YouTube, man, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you share that with everybody. And Brandon gets some Sudafed, and we out.
I already got the Sudafed, man. I'm about ready to pass out in a minute now. I'm gonna hang up this thing, and that's gonna be it, man.
Well, you go ahead and pass on out, bro. Go ahead and leave.
Listen up, sure. Yeah.